The views, information, or opinions expressed on the Scullagan podcast are solely those of our hosts and the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors or their employees. This podcast is general in nature and for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition, procedure, or treatment. This episode of Scullagan is sponsored by Peak Talent Capital Solutions. Peak is a revolutionary alternative to the traditional staffing model. Ingenuity, intelligence, and keen marketplace insight drives talent management solutions which make a dynamic difference for partner organizations. From entry level to executive level and every role in between, Peak is illuminating a path forward and meeting the future of work head on. For more information, please visit their website at peaktcs.com. Welcome in to another episode of Scullagan. I'm Mike Frazier, and I'm here with my partner, Russell Sable. And today's topic is toxicity or the toxic male and how that term is being applied way too liberally. So I'll start with the definition of toxic. And toxic is adjective for poisonous. And has a whole lot of other similar words: venomous, virulent, noxious, dangerous, destructive. Then we go over to the other side of it, and it is very harmful or unpleasant in a pervasive or insidious way. Now, we brought this up because I read something recently. Not only is social media just permeated with what I call catchphrases, and most of them are tired buzzwords and labels because it's popular. We love to label things, especially the weak-minded. We love to, instead of looking at the totality of it, or maybe even looking inwardly as to how we may improve ourselves or our mindset or how we perceive those around us or our work environments, I believe it's a little easier that we just label something and start the whine and bitch session. Complaining, this, that, and the other. Not a big fan of it. I've heard conversations recently that were just firm and stated that, you know, this team needs to do this, this team needs to do that. I referenced the Elon Musk email here recently to where it was so innocuous to me. It went out, and I'm just paraphrasing here. He just said, we're going to have to double up the effort here, folks. If we want to get the Twitter 2.0, we're going to have to work a lot harder. Man, we're going to have to put in a whole lot more hours. We're going to have to really put, in a nutshell, put our nose to the grindstone. And, you know, there were stories coming out there where there were young people throwing up in trash cans and how insidious that was. And it's just getting sillier by the day. I hate to tell you, but we live in something called the real world, and the real world isn't nice. So I opened that up with toxicity and the toxic male and the definition, and I do believe, Russell, that masculinity is under attack.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And the toxic masculinity—it's a lie that has been roaming around America and probably even around the world for quite some time. And you know, what is it to be masculine? Is to provide and protect. We need to. All men need to be able to have that characteristics to where they need to be able to provide, and they need to be able to protect their families, the ones that they love. And, you know, a man needs discipline and control along with a purpose to strive and be better for their friends and their families and to be a good man. And that's something that, you know, all men need to be able to look at is need to have a purpose to strive. And this toxic masculinity and the word toxic is just out the wazoo, and I think it's time that we need to change it.
Yeah, it's most overused, definitely. And you know, in today's cancel culture, applying the word toxic to someone or a workplace or an employer or a group of people or anything else, it has lasting repercussions. I don't think that people quite understand the negativity, pardon me, that is behind that and how it can affect other people. Because once you apply that toxic label to an institution or an individual, it is often used to cancel them from worthiness. And, you know, it's also powerful because before all this, before social media, before all this, you know, this non-stop chatter, this non-stop opinionating or opining online, you know, it literally meant poison before it became being used as a cultural trend. So in literal sense, of course, we can objectively and scientifically prove if something is toxic. But coming from an individual point of view, I find it really ridiculous that once someone uses that term, everyone else picks it up like a dropped football on the field and runs for the touchdown with it.
Definitely. And you know, I don't know if you know, but James Cameron, he's a good movie director. Recently, he said testosterone is a toxin that men need to work out of their systems. And it's quite hilarious because yet the dude makes movies on Avatar and all of the Rambo movies and even the one and only Terminator movies.
Fascinating.
You know, those are the most masculine and testosterone infused movies that are out there, and for him to turn around and say that, like, you're a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly. And isn't that amazing? You know, it's amazing he didn't have a problem with the paychecks coming along with that.
Oh, definitely.
With that, you know, I find these people, first of all, I don't pay any attention to anyone that, you know, everyone wants to spend way too much time dissecting what these stars and athletes and everyone else thinks. You know, just because you can make a movie or just because you can dribble a ball or catch a pass thrown to you does not make you an authority on anything, honey, except the thing that you're doing. And if you're doing that well, then you're an authority there. We extend far too much credibility to these individuals, which is sad because someone's going to pick that quote up. And I believe that just is more laden back on men, making us feel guilty for being men.
Right.
You know, but if we're not men and we don't do something, you know, well, what are we? We're a candy ass. We're, pardon my French, we're a pussy. We can't handle things. We don't do things. You know, I don't know if I don't know whether this has been I don't know what this has been over the past two or three decades. But there has been an absolute infantilization of men. And I mean that we have gone out of our way to remove masculinity from young men. And we started at a young age by throwing fantasy and fantasy-laden games into their hands to keep them occupied instead of parenting them. We allow them to spend endless hours goofing and playing and living in a world of fantasy. We've taken away the winner and the loser, and we've, they'll catch on how everyone talks about, you know, oh, well, you know, everyone gets a trophy. We've, in a nutshell, we've removed it. In this desire, this ambition to level the playing field, what we've done is we have really removed the ambition, desire, goal-making, and also, you know, masculinity from young men. We've made them feel guilty for having all the traits that not only founded this country, but has kept it safe.
Definitely. Honestly, we have stripped away and toned down, you know, the meaning of purpose. You know, if a man doesn't have a purpose, he will become weak or lash out or eventually erupt into a dangerous man, which will then lead to nihilism. And they tend to become mass shooters, join gangs, suicides, or terrorists. And yeah, going to recently, Jordan Peterson put out a quote about useless man, a weak man. A man that has no strive or can't do something or doesn't have the ability to do things and doesn't have guidance is a dangerous man. And that is, oh man, that's not good. And I mean, a good man is one that has the power and discipline and absolute savage, but chooses to be good and takes all of that energy and directs it towards a purpose. So we need to, all men need to find that purpose in life or whatever they've got going on for us to continue to strive and be a better man.
And we've spoken about purpose, the importance of it, that a man must have one. My concern with this and men's mental health and mental well-being is this is just yet another label, another catchphrase, another, well, pardon me, bullshit phrase that is heaped upon the pile of manhood. You're supposed to feel guilty, you're supposed to be, you know, until it comes time to kill a snake or fight a bear or go to war or do the things that men are expected to do. Other than that, just shut up, sit over in the corner, Johnny, and, you know, just be a sweet little boy. And don't bother anybody, don't say anything bad, don't upset anyone, watch every word that comes out of your mouth. That's absolutely absurd. This stuff has gone on and on and on, and, you know, we've gotten into this cancel culture now to where, you know, all of a sudden, I believe it originally started with holding celebrities accountable for harmful behavior, has spread to the idea that we have a moral obligation to cancel everyone and everything that hurts us. And, you know, sometimes the hurt that you're feeling, I'll just go out, just throw this out there, is because maybe you have a victim mindset. You know, instead of labeling and looking at ourselves as being victimized by words or deeds or behaviors of other people, and, you know, why isn't it time that we looked at how we cannot handle things that maybe are a little uncomfortable, how we participate in that dynamic, how we allow ourselves to be so easily hurt. I'm one, you know, this is more from a stoic point of view, I'm one that I don't understand how what anything or anyone, or pardon me, if someone says outside of your, you know, maybe inner circle even, would have any effect on you. I don't get, you know, who cares about the opinion of someone that isn't helping you pay your bills or, you know, helping you take warm showers at night. I've never understood the concept of that. I mean, I hate to be blunt like that, and maybe some may find offense at some of these words. If you do, don't tune in again. But we're really coming to what I call a perfect storm of stupid. You can't live in a constant state of being abused, feeling abused, unless you are actually abused, and that's a whole different concept. But you can't live in this victim mentality to where every word that's said is all of a sudden directed at you or makes you feel bad, and just someone posts something on Twitter and you must rail against it, and you must protest against it. You've got too much time on your hands. You need to, you know, buck up, little camper, and, you know, for lack of better terms, for men especially, grow a pair. Participate in something in your community. Give back. Do something positive. But you can't sit around being wounded constantly, and you should not also be wounded by other people labeling you, especially if they don't know you. Now, if you are a toxic male, and they are out there, then you need to get some help. But, you know, because being human means that you'll eventually hurt someone else. So in that respect, aren't we all toxic? I mean, haven't we all committed toxic acts? Of course we have. Assuming there's a moral authority that's taken here, I believe, that we have the right to deem another person, you know, a political stance that someone has, or a relationship as toxic, in itself a toxic behavior. So when you're doing that, you're being toxic. Now, that's just my belief.
Yep, agreed. And going back to, you know, beating up a bear, you know, men still have that DNA in we all have that DNA in us to where it hasn't changed. But to struggle to find that purpose, like slaying a dragon, beating up a bear, or rescuing the princess.
Well, yeah, I'll dig it.
But, you know, in the end, you have to take accountability for screwing up and learn from it. Become better. Do what we need to do to be a better man. You know, there's going to be that discipline. We need to find that discipline. We need to have a purpose and have our responsibilities. You know, continue to strive every single day. You know, for me, I get up every morning. I make my bed. I go to the gym. I come home, have protein shake, get ready for work, go to work, and then I come home, and then I'm doing yard work or doing something. That's the biggest thing is men never stop working. We're always working.
Most of us are.
Yeah, most of us. Some go home and drink or something like
that. Well, and some aren't doing a damn thing. And yeah, if that's one of you, get your ass up and get something done.
Some are couch potato or, you know, get your shit together is what we're trying to say here. Get your responsibilities, take accountability for your mishaps, and get going on life. Be a better man.
Yeah, and I can't express enough here, you know, especially that, first of all, I'm going to use a example here. The example of workplace toxicity. You know, you'll interview someone and they say, well, the workplace was toxic. You might have had one individual there, and most of the time these are managers, people in power or influence. And sometimes these people are, by classification or by training, domineering. They're granted power to get things done. Sometimes they haven't received the best training in the world. So sometimes they're no more than a jerk. You know, I throw that in there, you know, this toxicity, with these buzzwords that we love anymore, like quiet quitting and authentic and all this other BS. And that's what it is. We just love to label things and create new terms for things and how they're bothering us and how they're causing us pain or anguish on the job, in life. But, you know, there's lots of bosses out there, and I've had a few myself, that are jerks. Mm. They, but, you know, they weren't toxic. They were just a jerk.
Asshole.
That's right. And they had, and it wasn't a toxic workplace. That those traits were intrinsic to that one individual. So don't judge your entire workplace, don't judge your entire career off the actions of one individual. Also, I mean, and these could be discussions moving forward, there are ways of understanding people when they don't communicate rather well. We live in a society right now that is terrible at communication. We don't want to talk about our feelings. We don't want to talk about anything. We just want to feel hurt, and we want to lash out. You know, if someone hurts our feelings, then, oh my goodness, then instead of talking it out, then we ought to rush to social media or Google reviews or do something. That's asinine and it's immature. And you should learn how to cooperate with those around you, learn to understand people a little bit better, and then also stop labeling so rapidly. Sometimes it's your how you perceive the information more than it is the individual that is relaying the information. I mean, I can tell you 100 times that I've used this example before, and this actually happened one time. I was in a room with 3 different people, and I gave the same directions, same information about the same workplace situation. One of those individuals later on stated to one of my employees that is the best information she had ever received, that she really appreciated me taking time to do that. Second person stated that she felt that I was arrogant and that it was just wasn't relevant to her at all. Third person was just interested in what time lunch was going to start. So, you know, it's all subjective. But you shouldn't immediately jump to words or terms that labels someone and diminishes them. It is derogatory. So before you do it, you might want to understand what toxic actually means. Stop dropping in line behind all the other lemmings out there and stop following and, you know, goose step behind all of it, and understand that you don't have to be a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You can have a mind for your own, of your own, pardon me. So I think that in these larger situations, this compulsion to blame others, you know, with, like we say, toxicity, it focuses in on our, maybe sometimes our inability to understand completely or communicate. It's just easier to jump to that conclusion.
Mm. Yeah, and I think part of the problem is when we're younger, when we're kids, sometimes you're shown that parents are supposed to show that rite of passage with, you know, chores and accountability, and sometimes you there's kids out there, especially these days, that do not have that.
Yeah.
There's some parents that just don't give a shit. They just sit there and let their kids do them and do whatever. But, you know, our young men and women, they need to have responsibility to go through a struggle to become better. It all starts in the family at a young age. Like, I mean, when I was young, holding the flashlight for dad, or mowing the lawn, or taking out the trash, and God forbid, if I didn't do a single one of those damn things, oh man, I was gonna get yelled at and probably my ass chewed out.
Yeah.
So it all starts at a young age, and recently I talked to a young lady. She's a single mom, and I wanted to get her opinion. I don't really know too many single moms that are out there, and I was like, you know, what exactly do you do for your kid? Because you're single, you're a single mother, and in this world, you're struggling. Most of them are struggling with what needs to be done in order to have their kid be happy. And she always said, I put my kid first. I could care less about myself at the moment. I put her first. I want to make sure that she's disciplined, that she has responsibilities, that she gets up and goes to school every morning and make sure that she's fed and all that good stuff. So I think a lot of this starts in the beginning, and this is something that we need to, that most parents these days need to kind of work forward to. You know, going back to technology, we've become so complacent with this comfortable life. We rely on our phones and technology. I mean, shit, we order food from our phones, we date women from our phones, we texting and emailing and all that stuff instead of going to people and actually talking face to face. There seems to be no challenge anymore, and we no longer get in trouble for things anymore, like being yelled at like I did when I was a kid. Kids don't really get yelled at anymore. And
well, do you think this change in communication, this inability or this refusal sometimes even to have face-to-face conversations or to get to know another human being or to have that conversation? I mean, you know, you and I have a personality, I know, each, that could be taken as abrasive and arrogant sometimes, and, well, because you're an asshole.
And yes, so are you.
I know I am.
What
thank
are we
you.
Gonna do?
Well, not a damn thing. But, I mean, we could be taken wrong when both of us just have a very, sometimes, wry, dark sense of humor sometimes. Oh, we're poking fun, we're having fun. I think the first time you and I ever met, you know, was at a golf tournament, and you know, I'm thinking, who is this asshole and why is he talking to me like this? But the more I got to know you, the more I was like, that's just your style, and I liked it a lot because that's my style as well. We right. jab each other all the time, call each other names, and
this is up and down the entire day at a golf course.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, but that's how we are. I think maybe this lack of communication, or maybe this texting and or misconstruing, or also sort of sheltering ourselves, or and also if we go back to children, sheltering our children, and but then these people becoming sheltered in their lives and in their, you know, even taking it to work and not really truly wanting to communicate. Sometimes somebody, you know, I heard not too long ago, someone made a joke, you know, on the job, and, you know, it was he mentioned an 80 sitcom, and I can't remember what the catchphrase out of the sitcom was, but it was so innocuous, and within the next hour, he's hauled before HR, he's of my generation, and he's hauled before HR because someone in the group took it that it was, it was maybe even sexual harassment. And there was a whole write-up about it, and, you know, people saying, hey, look, you know, so maybe you ought to stop and understand the words coming out of people's mouths or understand them as human beings. I don't know if we do that so much anymore. But, you know, there are those that believe in toxic masculinity. They feel that traditional view of what it means to be a man or the traditional view of being a male is that we're unfeeling, unthoughtful, cruel, uncaring. We hear that masculinity is the root of violence, greed, aggression, the stifling of feelings. They feel that they feel it like in their bones, man. And because they point to evidence, of course, this goes back to confirmation bias. Once you feel something like that, you're finding it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my gosh, look at him. He's such a toxic male. You know, I think we even had the thing, I don't know if anybody uses the term anymore, but there for a while you heard mansplaining all the time. You know, he's just mansplaining it to me. When it was just someone I'd hear people just trying to help someone out. Oh, you're just mansplaining to me. We love to label, but this thing that we have that we want to diminish manhood is detrimental not only to our current society, but those young men that are going to grow up, they shouldn't grow up so sheltered and so scared. You know, if I want to go back to one of the other old, tired old terms, you know, if they're terrified of being an authentic male to where they believe in, you know, good. They believe in being good, taking care of the people around them, doing the right thing, okay? Taking the lead when necessary. Being courageous, okay? All the other things we can apply, they shouldn't fear that. They shouldn't say, oh my goodness, I shouldn't do that because I'm going to be seen as a toxic male. There was one other thing I wanted to say, especially along the lines of that, especially going into workplace toxicity. If you want to look it up and you really want to research this whole toxicity or workplace toxicity or all the other terms, you go to LinkedIn, it's filled with it, oh my gosh, and it gets all kinds of likes because it's another term, the science is dubious, and if it is so dubious behind all of this, then why are we so in such a rush to call one another or an employer or a workplace toxic, to label them with that? That's a damning label, I'll just put it that way. And I believe it's partly because it's emotionally satisfying to blame other people for our distress, okay? Some people, not all, can actually get addicted to feeling victimized. And it's especially sometimes when we're stressed, we look for ways to get that stress and to turn that wrong around and blast that right back at someone else. It's a compulsion. And, this toxicity-focused compulsion that we have to blame others sometimes for our own misunderstandings. I go back to the guy that was just stupid enough in a meeting to quote an 80s sitcom in a meeting of other generations, you know, and what he had to go through. Maybe we ought to stop labeling and start understanding. So, once again, there are toxic people out there. I'm just against the term being used so liberally.
Hmm. We have deprived an entire generation because of things have gotten so simple.
Yeah,
because of
I agree.
Technology's gotten so much better, and we've removed those opportunities of doing the hard things. And you've got Facebook and Instagram and all these things, and kids these days, and men and even women, they're just so caught up in social media that it's just like. It's all about, oh, how many likes can I get, or you know, I'm gonna share this post and see what I can get out of all of it, because I want to get all that attention.
It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, it's just unreal. It's just, there's just nothing going on anymore, and you have to take accountability for everything that's going on. And this society has made it too easy to not take accountability for our mishaps. There needs to be discipline and a purpose, and we need to have responsibilities. And, you know, young men are broken at a young age because they don't have a purpose, or they don't have a responsibility. You know, when I'm like going back to me when I was young, I had all these responsibilities. My parents gave me these responsibilities to do because they knew, hey, this is going to turn into a man sooner or later.
Yeah,
this is what we need to do for you to become that. And going off to college, living on your own for a year or two. Granted, I'm living back home now, but...
Well, you know, handling shit on your own. You know, stepping up. Taking the lead.
Yeah.
You know, grabbing the situation by the short hairs. Doing whatever you need to do. You know, we don't want to, you know, masculine this thing up too much. But in a nutshell, you know, whether you like it or not, male or female, life is going to demand you to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And should you be knocked down constantly by some, pardon my French, some dumbass somewhere labeling you because they misunderstand, you make a comment, you post something about, you know, you may be, you know, I was reading something the other day where there was a ex-Navy SEAL, he wrote an op-ed, advocating for these masculinity traits and arguing that to believe that in a world that they were not necessary to live in or to remain safe in was the is a fantasy. It's a fictional domain. And I believe that's true. I believe that what we're doing is we are trying to justify feelings and emotions by labeling others rather than realizing that sometimes it's ourselves that need to or we need to look in a mirror and say, maybe I'm just taking this the wrong way. Maybe I need to lighten up a little bit, man. Maybe here's a big one, mind your own damn business. Focus on yourself. Focus on making yourself a better human being. Stop worrying about what everyone else is writing, everyone else is posting, everyone else is tweeting.
Or thinking about you.
Right. Yeah. Mind your own damn business, dude. Get busy on yourself. Make the world a better place. Become, you know, go fix a problem. Go give to a charity. Go help a child in need. Go help an animal in need. Go do something of some type of worthiness. You know, even when you do that, and I believe that you can be the best man you can be, there's still going to be people come along and label you as something because that's their weakness. It's their problem. It's not yours. Now, back to maybe you are a toxic male out there. Maybe you're just a horse's ass. Well, you need to work on that, brother. What we're concerned about today is the overuse of the term and how we believe it may be preventing some men from achieving their goals and from being their, and I'm going to use this term I hate, but it's true, becoming their authentic self and striving and moving forward. And it's also, I believe, it's going to hurt young men because young men and boys nowadays are made to feel guilty. We're starting to guilt men for being men, boys for being, you know, carrying that chromosome. I think it's absurd what we're doing, but the more light we shed on this, I believe the more discussion we'll get out of it. Maybe somebody out there hear this and say, you know, maybe it changes my mind on labeling everything as toxic, or maybe that dude or dudette isn't toxic, or that workplace isn't toxic. Maybe I'm overusing the term, okay? And more than likely, and studies show, you are. Now, if you're not, and it's a true toxic workplace, toxic person, toxic individual, get the hell away from it.
Mm.
Okay, it's the best advice we can give you because you don't deserve to be around them. You deserve to be happy. But don't drop into the labeling of everyone and expecting that the world should just follow suit.
Yeah, and I've always learned that you can either defend the problem or if the problem follows you, you run away from it and fight back. You know, I think we've nailed pretty much almost everything along these lines, but I think, you know, the biggest thing is boys. You know, you got boys that are in school, you got boys that are in throughout the entire world. No matter the things that you say, there's always going to be that one person on social media, or, you know, like in your group, you know, there's going to be that one person that just doesn't give a shit, and they're going to try and say something. And I think to this day, you know, we always teach how to defend ourselves against bullies, but we never ask the boy what's wrong. And we never try to teach them, to guide them to be better. And, you know, that kid or that man is missing something in life or at home, or he's missing a father figure or a mother figure. And or maybe they're being treated like that at the house or talking about somewhere else, and they're just bringing it along with them. You know, the AKA, you toxic male or woman, female, excuse me, and... You know, maybe there's just that one thing, so we need to ask, we need to, you know, one, stop the bullying if you see it happen, and we need to mentor the bully or guide them to be better. Don't be, make sure that they're not going to be more of a piece of shit when they get older. You know, most cases, you know, like I said, most cases, they're missing a father or a mother figure, and we need to help them out to be better.
Yeah, we do.
We need to solve these problems before they get worse, before bullies become what their father or their mother or maybe even their friend has given to them. And they're learning from these people, or they're learning from whoever, and they're becoming a bully in some sort of fashion way. We need to, if you see it happening, we need to get away from it. Make sure, you know, go over there, talk to them. Try and guide them in their direction. And if you see it happening online, maybe tell them, hey, you know, don't fuck with us. Well, or, you know, something in a positive direction to kind of help them or guide them in a different way or fashion of some sort.
I'm going to end up with judgment, because these are judgment calls. This is an individual's judgment about another human being, workplace, environment, group of people even. You know, you may say, well, all men are toxic, or all this, or all that, you know. And we notice that those that don't want to be labeled, are the ones that care to label, the first to label someone else. But the philosopher Immanuel Kant spoke about two kinds of judgment that lead to reason. There is deterministic judgments and reflective judgments. Deterministic judgments are those that come from objective reasoning. Reflective judgments are those that we derive from personal experience and come from our emotions, both positive and negative. Reflective judgments are more concerned with how things are imagined or felt and are not grounded in reason. And, you know, while we all wish to use reason in our arguments or in our determinations, we are wired psychologically to default to reflective judgment. So you might want to spend a little bit more time before you make that accusation, which that is an accusation, calling anything or anyone toxic. You might want to work on your judgment and understand those definitions I just gave you.
Take a Skulligan.
That's right. That's what we say all the time. Take a Skulligan. Pause. Look at things before you take that shot, because that's what that is. You're taking a shot. And, you know, Russell and I are always glad to talk about these types of things. And if you have anything you'd like to add to the discussion, we hope you do. And, you know, we're going to be back real soon. We have so much more to talk about. And, other than that, I really hope that you take time to reason. Take time to look at the individual, the organization, the situation, and before you label something. I know that's very difficult today, and psychologically it's been proven that's just easier to do that. Why don't you be a little different? So, Russell, my friend, I'm going to let you wrap this thing up.
Yeah, if any of you men are out there, you guys are struggling with, you know, any sort of some sort of masculine or anything, Tim Kennedy and Matt Boudreau helped create Apogee Strong program, which is for broken men that suffer with masculinity or they're going through some sort of masculine problem because they're missing that just that little ordeal. And it gives men and gives goals, gives them a purpose to keep going, and even helps with dads. They even have a little program for dad where if you are getting ready to be a newcomer dad, they're willing to help you out.
Yeah.
So go to apogeestrong.com for if you're a kid that are working through these things or just a teenager, and go to apogeestrongdad.com.
And that's Apogee. How do you spell that?
APOGEE strong.com.
Groovy. Okay.
Go to those things and it'll help you out. These programs are pretty cool. I've deep dived into some of them and even listened to Tim Kennedy talk about a little bit more about them, and it's pretty cool program, and it's going to help a lot of men out, and even it might even help out some single mothers kind of guide themselves to a different direction.
Cool.
But as we always say here, everybody have a wonderful day, and check out our website. We have a fantastic merchandise. Like we say, we're going to get better. We're going to get better things, bigger things. We're going to see what's going on.
And I'm pointing at Grace right now because we've got a lot more to add this coming week. So to the shop. So one of our major, you know, releases is going to be a lot more around our what we call Yoke Bro.
That's right.
You know, he and I ask each other all the time, Yoke Bro. And we'd like for you to take a look in. We're going to have some holiday stuff as well. If there's anything you need above and beyond that, of course, the website is there for you to communicate with us. So do visit us at Skulligan.com. And we're still working on all the other social media channels. I know we're on Facebook, and I think we still have to add all the others. It's not that we're ignoring it. It's just we have so many other things that we wish to accomplish. And Facebook is the daddy of it. So whether we like it or not, we're okay right there right now. But we'll be creating a whole lot more content and a whole lot more, everything, products and success stories from you we'd love to hear. We're going to be producing a whole lot more of everything moving forward. So from Mike Frazier to Russell Sable, we send you nothing but groovy thoughts, man. And we hope that you stay right there in the mind. And if you need anything, visit our site or anywhere else. If you need help, seek it out. There's plenty of resources. There's going to be plenty more resources coming to the website as well. So other than that, we've just been happy to spend this time with you, and we hope you join us in our next podcast.
From Mike Frazier and Russell Sable, have a good night, everybody.
See you next time. This episode of Skulligan is sponsored by Work Plus Brain, a research, analytics, and consulting firm established to share analysis, intelligence, and expert points of view on the future of work. The future of work is cerebral. Increase revenue, work less, or get you or your organization in the right frame of mind. Whatever your ambition, our evidence-based coaching and solutions will help you achieve those results or realize your biggest, boldest goals. For more information, please visit their website at work.com. plusbrain.com.